Hi, welcome back. In today's episode, we're going to talk about developing a firmer and stronger sense of resiliency. So thank you for joining me. We've all heard the word resilience. And what does that mean in our personal lives? You know, it's a big word and it's a very important word. And how does that affect us in our daily living? And do we even recognize if we're living with a strong sense of resilience or not? What I've learned in my many years is we can develop a much deeper, more trusting state with self, with a relationship with self, when we are working on becoming more resilient. Children have always been an important part of my life, from my years as a home daycare provider to my years as a school social worker and then as a foster mom. And of course, being the mom of five incredible, beautiful children and now beautiful grandbabies. The health of kids, both physical and mental health, has truly been a big part of my purpose and my journey here on earth. Over these years working with kids, and then of course now I work with adults, a lot of adults as well, I notice that there is such a difference in the state of resiliency and how that does play a big part as we navigate the tough stuff. Because we will always have tough stuff. It's just part of life. And some days feel tougher than others, and some seasons feel tougher. And when we allow ourselves to understand and look at our resiliency factor, it truly does make a difference. So what is resiliency and what does that mean? Resilience refers to the ability to successfully adapt to our stressors in sane ways, because we can have a lot of stress and we can react where it's overwhelmed and climb back in bed. I know we talked about that a few episodes ago. Or it's, can I pull my boots on and deal with this one stress at a time? And that's that resilience factor. Dealing with stress while maintaining our true psychological well-being. And of course, we all know when things get tough, this can be tough. It can be tough to feel the resilience. It can be tough to feel like we can navigate all those changes. Asking ourselves, you know, to look at if you want to question, how resilient am I? And again, today's episode isn't to bring blame or shame or less than feelings. It's to open up more conversation around this and for us to choose to look at this. How resilient are we? Is that something that we want to incorporate in our lives and bring in if we are feeling a little bit low on the resiliency scale? So we can start by asking ourselves, how well do we bounce back from difficult life experience? We all have them. And some people have more challenge than others. It's just the way it is. And some people have bigger and greater challenge than others. But think about this. When you're faced with crisis, what is your typical response? And then look back over the years. Is that recent how you're responding now? Did you used to respond with more calm and now you're responding with more stress, more inability to feel that I can do it? Or did you used to respond with more crisis of, oh my gosh, I can't do this and I'm not gonna. And then of course we run into escapism behaviors and now you're able to really come at it with the calm sense. Any way we used to do it, we can always shift it. And any way we're doing it now, we can also shift that. So looking at our history, where were we? Where are we now? And where do we want to be? A woman I used to know, just to give you an example, she had a complete meltdown. It was a party, a large gathering, and the dog that belonged to the family that was having the party, the dog ran in the road and was hit by a car. And of course, it was crisis, and the dog was hurt, still breathing, but hurt. The woman that was part of the party, not the owner of the dog, was really in crisis. She got down on her hands and knees and started to cry and was completely immobile and kind of wailing and didn't know what to do. Now, I'm not at all shaming this woman or criticizing her, because we all remember deal with crisis differently. And looking at that experience, one might say her resiliency quotient was pretty low. Another woman was at the party, stepped in and took charge in a calm way. She cared for the dog. She asked someone to get a blanket, covered the dog because the dog was shaking. And then with a few other people, they got the dog to the vet. She responded with calm and strength in the face of that same situation where the other woman really reacted from a place of overwhelm and had no idea what to do. That's an example of how we react when we are faced with something really hard. So ask yourself, how do I handle crisis? And of course, this can change by what type of crisis, what season it is, where are we in our life at that moment. Overall, looking at you historically, how have I handled crisis? How do I handle stress? You know, when I look back at my history, how I handle things now is much different than I used to. And it gets better and better as I do more self-work, because I continue to work on my overall lifestyle, my overall healthy living, really tuning into not just my physical body or my mental body or my emotional body or my soulful body, but looking at all three and working with all three. And the more we do that, the more we treat ourselves as a whole system, the easier it is to really navigate the stress and build a stronger resiliency. And resilience is on the spectrum, of course. It's not a cut and dried. It is, like I said, it's a fluid energy. And the longer we choose to become more mindful, the more we pay attention to that, the easier it is to build that strength when hard stuff happens. Because truly, shit happens. It always will. And the more we gain our strength, the easier it is to navigate that, even when the things are really, really hard. Sometimes, like I said earlier, we feel we can do it. And we can climb every mountain there is to climb, and we won't give up. And sometimes we want to quit. When I used to be a trail runner, I loved climbing hills because I had that sensation of Rocky Balboa, where I'd get to the top of that hill, even if it was a big one, and I'd put my hands up and I'd feel like, yes, I can do that. And I can do a lot of things. But that's just physical resilience. We want that because that's part of it. But we also want to feel emotionally resilient and mentally, and then, of course, spiritually. So like I said, sometimes we want to quit. That's normal to feel that way. Sometimes we want to escape. And those escapism tendencies, the more we're doing it, the less resilient we are. So what determines our long-term strength? What determines that? What determines if we're going to give in to the desire to throw in the towel and escape in whatever means that is, or work through it? Resiliency is a critical quality for facing daily challenges, that ability to bounce back from stress and adapt to changing circumstances. Because change, as we know, we've heard this, is the only constant. Very true. And to maintain a positive outlook, that's essential for long-term success in living a life that we really, truly value and love, and knowing that we can keep putting one foot in front of the other. With all of the social media we have, but that can really either lower our resiliency, or if we're mindful, it can strengthen us. Because the more we allow ourselves to connect with our inner being and our purpose and our mission and why we are putting ourselves out there, and caring less about how many people like it or not, the opinion of others, because when you're on social media, you'll get the negative criticism as well. And when we can do that, you know, then, and that is such a pertinent example to what's going on in our world, the stronger our connection to ourself and our true long-term sustainability grows. So when our resiliency is low, a few patterns, and just see, you know, again, this isn't for shame or blame. This is a check-in to see, do I have some work to do? Unhealthy eating habits, either controlling ourselves by not eating or doing too much eating or eating junk food too much. It's those unhealthy eating habits. Just checking in with those. Everything is about balance. any escapism, which of course eating can be one, smoking, drinking, or other substances, shopping, fixing other people instead of self. And then of course, avoiding others, avoiding having conversations, avoiding having intimacy. And I don't just mean sexual intimacy. I mean those intimate conversations that we want to have with people because we want to get close to people. When we are in avoidance, we are oftentimes feeling less resilient. Someone I know, one of her friends just up and stopped talking to her. She said, I just can't handle any more people wanting me. Why? Because her resilience was low. And that's when her cup is too full, not doing any mindfulness practices, and then we can run. That's another reaction. Or if we're overreacting to minor problems, our resiliency is low. If you're counting on somebody to be on time, like today at my office, someone called in sick, and so I shifted my schedule. And if my resiliency factor was low, I might have gotten really mad. But again, I've worked on it and I continue to work on it. So I don't overreact. At least today I didn't. Can't say never, right? But today I didn't overreact to the minor problem. And then having emotional reactions that might not be in line with what is actually going on. You know, if we're having an overreaction to something, it's oftentimes because we have had this happen and this happen and this happen and this happen. And we haven't done the self-care to clear that out. We just let that pile on and start to feel more burdened and more burdened. And then what happens? No, we become less resilient. It's harder to bounce back. That's why it's so important to empty the garbage out in our being as well, right? Take the garbage out of the kitchen because otherwise you're going to have flies and bugs. Take the garbage out of our emotional state because otherwise we overreact. Our strength really goes down. Or we're becoming more irritable at people. Something happens and all of a sudden we start swearing or we're angry or we blow up or somebody asks a question and we've been overwrought with too much and we might snap or mood swings or anxiety. Most of the time in our lives, things are manageable, even when we're dumped on a lot, if we've been living as healthfully as we can, of course, for the most part. Anxiety happens because we're in our head a lot. Anxiety happens because we're thinking too much. We're not in our body enough. And so the more we allow ourselves to really balance that and know we can handle things and have healthy boundaries and know when we need to say no, that helps us feel stronger in self. What other things might you notice if your resiliency or when your resiliency is low? A greater disappointment in self, you know, telling ourselves story that we're supposed to do this and we're supposed to not need people. And why did I let that happen? Or why did I say that? Or why did that I blow up at that person? Well, because we were doing too much, because we weren't tending to self. And then we want to have compassion come in. Or when we are overly emotional, now we're not dealing with the things within us, so we might cry at the drop of a hat or be more aggressive at the drop of a hat. When our resiliency is low, we oftentimes also lack the motivation. Because remember the third chakra, which is our upper belly, mid back, sides. That's our engine, but it's also our self-esteem. So when that is low, when we are feeling like we're not doing enough healthy self-care, when our resiliency is low, our motivation oftentimes goes right down with it. And low energy levels, same part of the body. You might also be experiencing fatigue, nausea, get sick more often, muscle pains. It's when you start to say, wow, am I getting sick more often than I'm not? Could be because I'm doing too much and not treating myself well. It could be because I am not being mindful about my strength. So paying attention to how am I treating my body and how is my body reacting? And of course, our immune system is meant to be strong as humans. And when we have an autoimmune disorder and thyroid disease, really pay attention to how well have I been doing self-care. My belief is there is a correlation between autoimmune and our ability to feel our strength, that resiliency factor. And of course, when we have a lower sense of resilience, We will be more indecisive. We might have trouble concentrating, have difficulty remembering, and become more easily confused. It really does affect the body, mind, and then spirit, because we feel oftentimes alone or too needy, having that thing of, I really need to have that person. I need to make that phone call. I need someone to help me with this decision, when our resilience is low. That's that soul piece, right? We always have a connection to our higher power should we choose to connect to it. And then, of course, that can be on the other extreme. You know, resilience is a balance point. We might think we're really resilient and we can tackle anything. And a woman I know recently said, I know I need to get more help. I can do anything. I can do anything. And is that really true resilience? Because our bodies will take a hit. We will be exhausted. We might not sleep as well when we are taking on too much. So, yep, we can tackle it all, but is that a healthy way to do it? So let's shift that word a bit. We can be too strong, and I've talked about this before, too strong in a shadow way, an unhealthy way. Remember, we're meant to live in balance. We're meant to give and receive. We're meant to assist, and we're also meant to welcome help. For our bodies, minds, and spirits to be truly healthy, we need to do and we need to be. We need to give and we need to receive. We need to know when it's great to have our alone time and when it is time to connect with other people. Let people in, let people help us. Receive guidance from others or, of course, our higher power. Receive physical help when we need it. There's some things physically that I've done in my life that I should have waited to get help with, but sometimes I'm stubborn. Or just being with someone when you need to vent or cry, because we are meant to have a tribe, a support system. And when we allow ourselves to really look at, am I living in the state of balance? Do I really want to do this alone? Might this cause injury? The more we are truly coming from that place of healthy self-connection, that helps us establish a healthier and longer-term resilience. Because there's days where I am so overwhelmed, but I know my tools. I grab my toolbox. I know it's time to breathe. I know if I'm really struggling with my mental mind, I might need to talk to somebody. Maybe I'll do my push-ups to get back in my mojo. No, whatever it is. But what are the tools and are you using them? And we'll talk about some tools. And when we talk about the tools, you know, it's personal. It's what works for me doesn't maybe work for you. But there are things that will work for you. There are things that will work for all of us. Absolutely. So what causes us to feel overwhelmed? That feeling of, I just can't do that anymore. You know, think for a moment. When was the last time you said that? Someone at the boutique said to me today when I was working at Wellhouse, said, I just can't do this anymore. I said, yes, you say that, but you will. You will. You'll keep doing it because that's what you'll do. And what can you shift so it feels better within you? So when we say that statement, I just can't do that anymore, either we are ready to quit and we might, or we are just overwhelmed. So we're needing, that's a really good signal that we are needing some assistance, whether it's better treatment of our body or calling a friend or asking for someone to do something for you, take something off our plate. Really pay attention to what the body and the mind are saying. Pay attention to the thoughts and the words that are coming out of your mouth. Those are signals. Those are cues. And the more we allow ourselves to do that, the easier it is to get back to strength. So there are so many reasons that we have a low resilience. And like I said earlier, it could be from the time you were born. It could be from your birth story. It could be from your childhood. But one that I feel is so very important before we list the other more obvious ones is our connection to our soul journey. My belief is that we all come here to learn certain things on a soul level in a human body, to strengthen parts of our lives, to redo parts of our lives, to overcome a pattern from a different time before we were here on earth. And I also believe we choose our family of origin. That is my belief system. Why? Even when it was really, really tough, because there were certain things our soul contracted to come and learn. That's why it is so important to stay connected to our soul, our spirit. So very important. because that's where we can get away from the stories and into the truth. And so when we are looking at our resiliency factor, perhaps you came in with a lower resiliency so you could build it. Because when we're not, when we're choosing to stay in a low place over and over again and redo that same challenge of not feeling strong, not feeling I can get up and go, not feeling resilient, that's when our escapism tendencies grow in too many unhealthy ways too often. To me, that's a spiritual crisis. We're disconnected from our soul, disconnected to our soul story and why we came here on earth, disconnected from all of that help that is beyond earth. You know, and I've talked about escapism. It can be many things: eating, drinking, shopping, staying too busy, watching too much TV. It's the too much, right? It's not living in balance. Other things that lead to lower resiliency, look back to childhood. It can start way back into childhood, or it can come from one really tough experience or a series of experiences pushed us into too much doubt. Now, there's a woman I know that from a long time ago, and she went through a divorce. She was a go-getter. She was involved in the school. She was a mom, but she also sewed on the side. She had her own side business. And her husband left her, and it was really unexpected. She did a really deep dive, and her resiliency went way down. And one of her kids, the older of the two, who was like 10 or 11, really stepped up. Why? Because that child, even though she was young, had a strong resiliency, where the mother really didn't at that point, because this one event really turned her life upside down. But let's go back to childhood. How was our childhood? Were we in a safe place? Or were we consistently overwhelmed as a child, where we didn't feel safe, where we didn't feel like we had a support system, where we had to do too much on our own, where we worried about food, where we weren't able to trust if someone was going to react with anger or be there to pick us up on time or listen to us with our problems? We all will be taking childhood differently. Some kids grow up in really tough, tough situations. One of the foster kids that I had, he had a really tough, tough life, many foster homes since age two. His resilience was so strong. He actually ended up going to college and his job and is married. And one of his siblings didn't. They really struggled with drugs and alcohol. Same living situation, different people. Because why? Their soul story was different. But when we don't have those things as a child, it can contribute to that low tolerance for stress and change. And that leads to a really low resiliency factor. And as a matter of fact, that beautiful foster son of mine, he went the other way and he would not let people help him for a long time. Too strong, right? That's on the other end of that spectrum. Also looking at our support. How is our current support group? What's your tribe like? Do you have people that are available to you? How often do you use that support? And that support, how healthy are they? Because even if we have a lot of support, if it's not healthy, if they're the ones that are able to gossip or tell us, oh my gosh, yeah, if I was you, let's just go to the bar. You know, how healthy are those people? How healthy is your tribe? Because even if you had a healthy childhood, you might feel overwhelmed if you don't currently receive emotional validation from those people you love, your family members, your friends. Who supports you? Who is there for you? Check in with that. Do you use them enough? And the more that we allow ourselves to have that balance, are they the ones that we want in our lives? Or do we need to shift that a little bit? Are they helping us grow or not? Another way we can really destroy our resiliency or knock it down some is to be too hard on ourselves, to have unrealistic plans, and of course, perfectionism. You know, we can have beautiful goals. If I wanted to write a book and I said, I'm working full time, I'm a single mom, I'm working two jobs, but I want to get the book done in 3 months. Well, I'm setting myself up to fail. I don't have time to do that. Or if I don't allow myself to make mistakes, those are unrealistic plans and goals. And that does cause a lower resiliency. We want to be fair and kind to ourselves. setting achievable goals. Because if they're unachievable goals, that can set us up for failure. Because why? Because now we're so disappointed that we didn't achieve that goal. But was that really actually an achievable goal? Lower resilience often stems from taking on too much, expecting it to go too fast. Again, we want to be careful that we don't set ourselves up for failure. You know, when I work with kids, I have them look at what they can reasonably do, or adults. Let's start with adding three things to your day that are achievable, three small things, achievable. Because why? Because then your resiliency starts to grow because you feel good about yourself. Otherwise, we're struggling with a low self-esteem, which leads to a lower sense of resiliency. So if you don't have faith in yourself or your abilities, you're less likely to be able to handle those incredibly stressful or even mildly stressful situations. So think about that. You know, when we have a low self-esteem, we will oftentimes have more anxiety. We'll oftentimes have a greater sense of needing everything to be perfect. We will not handle stress as well. We might feel lonely. And of course, all of that can lead to more depression. Low self-esteem really has our energy at a lower state, and that can lead to depression. So looking at how am I treating myself? Am I being kind to myself? Am I expecting too much from me? And then going back to childhood and your teen years and your teachers and your people now, your tribe now, how are they handling their emotions? How has that been modeled for you? How has emotions been modeled for you? You know, most of us were not raised in a household that talks about anger or anxiety or stress. We just learn to be in the pinball machine and deal with it as we go. So when most of us were not raised to process our emotions or even seek help when we need to process our emotions. And of course, that leads to so much more overwhelm. Handling emotions, regardless of our age, can always be shifted. And the more we allow ourselves to delve in healthy ways, to look at things from a place of wonder, to say, am I handling this well or not? That helps us really understand and grow a healthier emotional regulatory system. So all that being said, if we want to rebuild a stronger resiliency, how do I do that? I strongly urge you to connect with your soul life. Start to connect with your intuition. Notice the beauty around you. One of these episodes, I will talk and dive more into developing a healthy, intuitive life. But that's important. It's to connect with our soul. It's to connect with what's beyond our earth, to look at the stars, to know our problems sometimes seem so big. But if we look at the stars and we see all that's out there, maybe our problems aren't as big as we think. Time is a huge thing here. If we want to build resiliency, look at our calendars. I was so guilty of overcommitting. And Susie, last week with the podcast on being more purpose-driven, she was such an overcommitter, she said. Absolutely. And when we do that, our resiliency goes down. Why? Because we're not being mindful. Because we're not checking our day and saying, wait a minute, can I really do this? Do I actually have time for this? Will I have time to do self-care if I add five more things to my calendar or even one more thing to my calendar? Will I really have time to continue to have a strong life? So give yourself more time and be kind and compassionate. Before you say yes, ask, do I really have time to do this? Maybe I need to check in with somebody, or maybe I'm not even sure that I want to and I'm just doing it to please somebody. And it might hurt me. So maybe I'll say maybe before I say yes, and then I'll check in. And also looking at, if I'm giving too much, am I being resentful? When we are giving too much and being resentful, it really does lower our self-esteem, because then we feel guilty for being resentful when we're giving. And the more we lower our self-esteem, the lower our resiliency goes. How else can we rebuild that physical body? You know, remember, it's body, mind, spirit. We want to tend to all three. Having a strong physical body is key. And sometimes, you know, one of my brothers is a quadriplegic. He's in a wheelchair. He can't get up and walk or use weights. He can use hand weights, though. And he did that for a long, long time to build the parts of the body that he can. And so having a strong physical body, as strong as we're able, is really key. Why? Because it's attached to our self-esteem. And the stronger our body is, and I don't mean you have to look like Atlas or Hercules or become a weightlifter. You don't. But we want to feel strong in our body. That's why I do my push-ups. Because when I do my push-ups, I feel stronger. And that really contributes to my resiliency. So exercise in whatever way. Build healthy bone density. Very important. And then, of course, listening to our breath. Listen to our heartbeat. Really go into breathing. That helps grow a stronger physical body. Sit on the floor, feel the vibration inside or outside. Do those glute squeezes and power poses. When we allow ourselves to feel firm in our lower body, squeeze those glutes, do those power poses, and you can Google that, helps us feel stronger. And it is important to feel strong. And then, of course, touching more. Use those five senses. When we use our five senses, it gets us out of the make-believe in our head. Touch, taste, smell, hear, see. Use those five senses to your advantage. Another way when we're feeling that I can't do this one more day, shake the body. And you can stand up and just shake, 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 shake everywhere until you feel a little loose. Do it carefully, of course. You don't want to hurt yourself. That helps shake away some of the debris. And with that, we also can reframe our thoughts, bring us back to reality, not the old stories. As humans, we tend to get more oomph from the hardships. We tend to remember the negative experiences and memories way more than the positive ones. We can change that. If we allow ourselves to sit there, you know, in that pool of too many negative experiences, pause. Wait a minute. What happened great today? What was a good thing that happened today? So take a moment and think about that. Because if we're not careful, we start to really focus on pain. When we've actually maybe had a lot of goodness. Because when we focus on the bad, chances are that if stress hits, you're going to overreact. Why? Because our energy is either amped up with anger from what we're thinking about, or a little bit lower vibration, like low depression or hopelessness, because we're thinking of all the bad. So if we let ourselves think about the good, that helps us feel much stronger and be more resilient. Otherwise, you might get somebody that just says, oh, your hair looks horrible, or which, you know, my hair looks bad today. Let me say that again. Or you'll get a criticism from somebody like, wow, I think that your shirt's ugly, or wow, your hair doesn't look as good as normal. Or, you know, someone said to me once, I really liked your hair better long. And had I been in a bad place, I could have carried that with me all day. I had a neighbor say something rude to me the other day, and I'm like, wow, that was really uncalled for. However, I was in a strong place, and had I been in a weak place, maybe I would have thought of that too much. We don't want to do that. Why? Because it doesn't help us. All it does is hurt us. So when we are given some unkind comment, if we have been building the strength, it's much easier to let those go. Those little things aren't going to kill us, but they might feel like it when our resilience is lower. And I will say this all the time because it's so important, breath work. Simple techniques, focused breathing. You can go on YouTube or Spotify or any other channel for so many good and free breathing techniques. It's worth it. And if you're not someone that is a meditator because it's hard, start with breathing. Build up to meditating. Guided imagery sometimes helps. And taking the breath all the way through the lung to the lower lung, not just the upper lung, but fill the whole lung. That really helps us reset and helps our strength. And of course, being more mindful. And if you can, become a meditator. And that can be easy. You know, I used to, when I started meditating, I'd feel my fingers in the dishwater. What did it feel like when I was doing the dishes? And that helped me understand and learn the importance of being present. And of course, connecting with what I call our personal trinity, which is our body, our physical body, our mind and emotional state, and our soul. We need to address all three. There's some modalities that help. Energy therapy, like craniosacral or Reiki or healing touch or physical like massage or acupuncture or allowing ourselves just to lay down and relax every single muscle. Those really help reconnect us to the body, mind, spirit. And gentle touch on ourselves or have someone else touch us gently. Gentle hand movements. Touching your arm, touching your leg with a gentle touch helps calm us down and bring us back to the restorative place of body, mind, spirit. And there's a lot of different groups out there. Join a support group. There's so many. Whether that is from an escapism support group or a great book club that works on a book that deals with an emotional or mental state. There's so many. Look for those. Or, of course, take a class. Learn. Read. Read books on how I can become stronger mentally or physically or all. Because the more we bring it into our psyche on a daily basis, the more we are able to move forward in that direction. We're just retraining our brain. And like we talked about last week, find ways to live a life of purpose. Even if that means today I'm going to stay in the present moment. That's my purpose today. Because the more we allow ourselves to stay present and find ways to live purposefully, the easier it becomes to gain strength to go after our dreams and have that resiliency we need to maintain that. I wish you a beautiful week. Be very good to yourself. We have been in tumultuous times, and that probably is going to keep going. So we want to take some time to rebuild and strengthen the resiliency within each of us. Have a beautiful week, and I look forward to connecting with you again next week. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms. And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.